All right, today we've got, I'm reading from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. It's also one of the scriptures that we were using at Vacation Bible School. And it relates to another scripture I'm going to share as well. I won't read from it, but I'll share about it in this service. And next week I want to do a 4th of July sermon, and then we'll pick back up with the sermon series on the hymns of the faith through to the end of the month and start something new once again in August at the Back to School Bash. All right, Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, if you would follow along with me in your Bibles or in the pew Bibles that are there. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch and an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" Then the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders. He gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Brenda, I have this water here for me, but I need a small bottle of water, if you don't mind. Yes, and a very wealthy man once gave $1 million to the church. A million. It's a lot of money, isn't it? Now, this man gave to the church even though he had never attended the church. You know, he just came by the office and gave them $1 million. And the pastor, aware of this, comes out and he says, "I'm curious. You're not a member here. You've not joined the church or anything. And why have you given $1 million? Thank you. $1 million to the church." And the man says, "Well, you're not the only religious group I've given to $1 million. I've given to a Buddhist group. I've given to a Muslim group. I've given to, several different religious groups." And they said, "But the reason I give, I don't believe in any of this." But just in case when I die and I meet God face to face and I see him, I want to be, just in case, I want to be able to tell him that, hey, I've helped your church out a whole lot. And hopefully that'll help me get into heaven if that be the case. Now, you and I know there is no way that even if we gave $1 trillion to the church itself, that benefits us even the slightest amount toward our salvation. It's not about an amount that we give. Think about this, folks. God already owns everything. He created everything. It doesn't matter the car we drive down the road and we say we got a title to it. God owns everything. God owns everything in our pocketbook. God owns the stones and the earth on which our homes reside. God owns everything. So all we're doing is giving back to God what is already God's. Now, God treasures those who give of a willing heart, of course. But see, this man was just thinking it was something that he could do, some act he could perform that would gain his entry into heaven, if it were true, according to him. Now, we know differently. The God who came as Jesus Christ, born into this world, who had no sin, who did not sin, was perfect, who died on the cross and rose again. It is through his blood that we are made righteous and whole in Christ Jesus, and therefore, through the act of God, gain entry into heaven. But there is only one requirement placed upon us, and that we receive him and repent of our sin. That is the only requirement of us, that we desire and want to live in the gift of God who has given us his Son, Jesus Christ. Unless we give of our heart willingly, and I'm not talking about of things here. Unless we give of our heart willingly and of full repentance and love for God and his ways, no amount of effort on our part will gain the favor of God. The only thing that gains the favor of God is and through his Son Jesus Christ and our claim upon him. Now, no one is prevented from receiving the good news of Jesus Christ. Here is the other story that I'll speak to. It's the story about Peter, where this is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. This is the story about Peter and Cornelius. Peter thought and felt strongly that the covenant of God was only for the Jewish people. In fact, we could probably say that at Pentecost, which is shortly before this and after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that when they spoke in so many different languages, they spoke in the many different languages of Jewish people coming to Jerusalem from so many different directions, that they all spoke Hebrew, but they also spoke these other languages. And these who had resided as disciples in the area around Jerusalem and all of Israel and Judah, that they were miraculously given that language to speak of the others. But Peter thought that salvation was for the Jewish people. The covenant of God was just for the Jewish people. And God gave Peter a dream. And in that dream, it came floating down on a blanket, those things that were considered clean and unclean animals, clean and unclean food. And God said to him in that dream, they are all good in his eyes. And what he meant was for Cornelius, for him to go to Cornelius's house, who was a Gentile, and to receive him as a disciple and a follower of Jesus, one who would repent and be baptized in the faith. And so Cornelius and his whole house were baptized. His whole house baptized for the repentance of sin and to follow Jesus. And that meant that everyone would be included in the gift of salvation that comes from Jesus, that comes from God. Now, I interchangeably, when I say God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I know we kind of look at them like they're different, but they're really all one and the same. It is God. They don't disagree with each other. It is still God, the way that he's revealed to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when Jesus died on the cross, that was God who died on the cross. And when Jesus rose from the grave, that was God who rose from the grave. All of these things are the same. Now, I had a conversation with a couple of my friends in college. And we were in our apartment, and one other had come to visit with us. And we got on the conversation. I don't know how this conversation, but I mean, they all knew I was a devout Christian, and they were Christians too, and they went to church and everything, one to a Baptist church, one to a Methodist church. And so the conversation came about like this, and the guy said, "Do you believe that Hitler could be saved?" Whoa, that's a big question, isn't it? Hitler's a bad guy, isn't he? He's murdered millions of people, tortured through Nazism and World War II, killed multitudes of people. That's like asking about, can Osama bin Laden be saved? That's like asking a question of all those persons of the past, like Stalin or Pol Pot and different ones who have murdered in the millions. And my answer to that question was this. Even as a 20-year-old, it was this. Yes. Even Hitler could be saved if he repented of his sin and followed after Jesus. Let me say this. That's of Stalin. That's of anybody in this world. All can be saved, but the key component is to be transformed and changed and want to follow Jesus Christ and want to reject the sin of the past. That's like when we do baptism in the church, it is about saying a rejection of sin, repent of it, turn totally opposite away from it, and seek to be covered by the blood of Jesus. The thing about it is, what that envisions for us, if we say, and that my friend just constantly would say there, "Oh no, I don't think he could be saved." And I was like, really? Because if what Jesus did on the cross isn't for everyone, it's not for anyone. And who are we to say that our sin, I know we can say, "Boy, that's bad. I know it's bad." But our sin also caused Jesus to go to the cross. Our sin separated us from the Father in heaven. And we claim that Jesus has died for everyone. Will everyone receive Jesus? No. I don't know. But it doesn't look like history shows us that Hitler, you know, repented of his sin, does it? But he could have. And what a wonderful thing it would have been if earlier in his life he had repented of his sin and turned to Jesus Christ. How things might be different in the world. or for a person like Osama bin Laden or someone else in the world, or for any one of us, how different the world is because we've repented of our sin and followed Him. I want to think that because I'm a follower of Jesus, that life around me and the people that I communicate with, somehow it's made a difference in their lives. And I hope that is for you as well. That the choices people make in this life somehow has been influenced by the presence of Jesus Christ in your life and wanting to follow His way. You see, salvation is not our gift. It is the gift of God. We offer it sometimes, but it's not our gift. It is the gift of God. Nothing prevents us from receiving the good news of Jesus Christ. And this story speaks of this as well, this story of Philip and of the Ethiopian eunuch speak to this as well. Nothing is preventing us. The only thing that prevents us is ourselves. Ourselves that can prevent it. To deny Him, to reject, to want to live for self rather than for God. But if we repent, as this Ethiopian eunuch does, as Cornelius does, and receives through baptism the good news of Jesus Christ, and receives it and confirms it in the outward symbol of baptism, what a great thing it is. God pursued this Ethiopian eunuch even before Philip was on the scene. Philip was just there, and God says, go to this guy on the chariot. That would be intimidating alone. But this guy on the chariot was a very smart man. In fact, he was in charge of the treasury of Ethiopia. He had all kinds of money that he could disperse if he so chose to do so, or to influence the queen to do so. He had all kinds of power. And to think God had already established in him to read God's holy word. This tells us that God's holy word was written, and that he was there reading the scrolls of Isaiah. They were already present and being passed around, and people were reading them, but he didn't understand it, what was saying. And God was in His grace seeking to give this gift to this Ethiopian eunuch. And all He said to Philip was, go near to where this chariot is. And then Philip, inspired of God, hears the words from Isaiah. Here's the words from Isaiah, which are these. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Now, for many of us who are Christians, we understand that that's easy to understand and interpret. That's speaking of Jesus. This is written and shared 400 years before Christ is born, from the prophet Isaiah. And so for these words, for Philip to interpret, it's easy for him to understand that it is Jesus being referred to as the lamb before the slaughter, and one who is before the shearer is silent. His humiliation is of the cross, you see, but he counted it as joy for our salvation. We understand this to be Jesus, but the Ethiopian eunuch did not understand what this meant. It was a puzzle to him. But then Philip is invited onto the chariot with him, and they go riding together down the pathway. They may have gone for hours, or maybe it was just 30 minutes. But he's sharing the good news about Jesus. He's probably telling them stories about Moses. He's probably telling them stories about Abraham and Isaac, and the story about Isaiah, and the story of Jesus and salvation, to the point that this Ethiopian eunuch then understands what salvation is. He had the ability to open up his treasury, but see, that wasn't what he was wanting. He knew that that was just something. He wanted something with substance. And they come to a place where there's water. And he says, in essence, what prevents me from being baptized here in this water? See, what prevented him before was he didn't know. What prevented him before is he wasn't willing to repent because he didn't know. Now he knows, and he's willing to repent of his sin. And what separates him, and he wants to be identified and covered by the blood of Jesus. And baptism is that symbol that represents being forgiven of sin, washed anew. And baptism is the symbol of going from death unto life and new breath. Baptism is the mark of the Christian. The newness of life eternal in Christ Jesus. God had pursued this Ethiopian eunuch. And then all of a sudden, miraculously, as he comes up out of the water, Philip disappears and is transported miraculously to some other place. Now, it sounds strange, doesn't it? But to some people, it sounds strange that Jesus is risen from the dead. And if God, who created everything from nothing, can also rise one from the dead and rise us all from the dead, it should not seem so strange that God had a purpose to let Philip go somewhere else. And now this Ethiopian eunuch, filled with an understanding of the scriptures, is going forth now to share this good news. How many people in all of Ethiopia, upon hearing about this from the word of this Ethiopian eunuch, has now shared this good news with others and has brought others into the faith? Countless others. Countless others, I am sure of it. And just as in our own faith, countless others come to Christ Jesus because of our words, of our sharing, of our faithfulness, and pointing to that of Jesus as Lord and Savior. It is the free gift for us all. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we know we cannot buy our salvation. You're the one who has bought our salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, let us now just give of ourselves to you. Let us pray humbly before you, O Heavenly Father, and just give thanks unto you for this great gift. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. I invite you now, as we stand and sing our closing hymn, and if you so desire to join with this church or to be baptized in the faith, to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior publicly, you come as we stand and sing.